The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
We come here on regular Sabbath basis and enjoy the fellowship with one another and fellowship with Father and with Christ. We do it in a sense so that we can please God. That's why most of us do what we do. Now, the world itself doesn't attempt to please God. But, you know, if we're going to please God, I really think that a study of some scriptures are going to show us what God wants us to do in order to please him. Let's turn to Hebrews 11, verse 1. A scripture that probably most of you know and have memorized, and it's a part of your scriptural and biblical knowledge. In Hebrews 11, verse 1, he says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So faith has a multifaceted purpose in our lives and in our relationship with God, as we're going to see. The New American Standard Version puts it this way: "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for." And the Greek word that's translated substance or assurance means confidence, expectation. It's also translated trust. You see, we have trust in God to honor his promises to us. And that trust can be something that we have to work to maintain. Because you see, the adversary, he doesn't waste his time attacking people who don't waver. He wastes his time attacking people who do waver. But he doesn't come after us that way, does he? He comes after us very subtly. He comes after us in a very sneaky, underhanded way. He spends his time weaving doubt into our minds. And when he weaves doubt, when we begin to doubt the promises of God, then we are on what some might call a slippery slope. You see, he wants to get us through disbelief into his circle of thought. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 21, it gives us an idea of how we can avoid that trap. In 5:21 of 1 Thessalonians, the apostle writes this: "Prove all things and hold fast to that which is good." Now, that seems to make sense even on a human level, but on a godly level, it's something that takes work, because you know when God, you and I, if we have pets, we teach them to roll over, and they roll over, and you give them a goodie. Sit, it sits, give them a goodie. God doesn't deal with us that way. He doesn't deal with us like pets. He deals with us as human sons and daughters who are going to be in his kingdom. And he allows us the opportunity to learn from our mistakes. And it's the more we learn, the more he's able to deal with us on a higher level. The New American Standard translates that "prove all things" verse in 5:21. He says, "Examine everything carefully." Be very careful of what we see, what we understand, what we will accept. And he says, "Hold fast to that which is good." In the New King James, it says, "Test all things." Now that's a good thing. Test to make sure that we are doing what God wants us to do. I mean, that seems like such a basic, sensible way to approach things. But you know, see, the new translations of the Bible may help you have a better understanding of certain words. But we need to be careful with, because without the original language, we can sometimes be misled. Now, let's go back to Hebrews 11, because Hebrews 11 is an important part of this message today. God teaches us the things that we need to know and the things he wants us to learn, and he does it in a number of different ways. In verse 3 of Hebrews 11, he says, through faith we understand, and there's that understanding that those who try to get on the, I'll use the physical comparison, being on the same wavelength as God. He says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. And of course, most of the world today doesn't understand who is the word of God. The word of God, of course, we see from John 1, was the creator of the universe. It matches this very nicely. But you see, it was Jesus of Nazareth. The being that became Jesus of Nazareth was the word in the Old Testament. He says the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. From nothing, he created something. Now, the combined governments of this world and the nations of this world are spending billions upon billions of dollars to prove the opposite of that. To prove that the world began with a big bang without the help of any so-called spirit God. And as we see that into the universe, as we see the things that God has shown us and revealed to us through, like the Hubble spacecraft, like the satellites that we send into deep space. You see, it's impossible for all of the beauty and the organization that we see in the universe to just have happened spontaneously by a big bang. GTA used to use the example of a printing shop. And you blow up a printing shop, and when the smoke clears, what have you got? Oh, the Encyclopedia Britannica. No, that nobody would ever expect that explosion created the Encyclopedia Britannica. Nor should science, if they use their brains, accept the fact that the universe that we see around us and the stars and the organization in the heavens happened because of an explosion. You see, it goes on in verse 4 of Hebrews 11. Abel, through faith, offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And we've read that here before, and we've seen that Cain was jealous of his brother's acceptance by God, of his gifts being accepted by God. He said, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Cain, not Cain, Abel was righteous. Cain was a killer. In God, it says, testifying of his gifts. And here's the key point in this scripture. By being dead, he yet speaks. And you know, those of us who have friends and relatives that have been in the church for a long period of time and they die, and you know the residuals, the accumulated effect of their love and their understanding of God and his teachings, they speak to us as their children and grandchildren of the things that are so important to us, because that's how we retain God in our knowledge. It says in verse 5, this is by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And he was not found because God translated him. And that comes from the Greek word to transfer, literally to transport. It's not that he changed him into a spirit being and took him off to heaven. But you see, in verse 6, he says, but without faith, without having faith, without the faith of Christ, without the faith that we get from our study of the scriptures, without faith, it's impossible, totally impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And that's the next step in this teaching, is that we need to learn, and we are learning, that God does give us rewards because we diligently seek him. Not casually, not the way the world does, because they've been misled. I don't condemn the world, and I don't think any of you do, because we know that it takes the Spirit of God to open our minds that we can understand God's plan. You see, humans today have a society, and they have great difficulty believing that God exists. Our materialistic society does not tend or lend itself to the concept of a great God who loves his children. A God who wants all things good for his children. That seems to be beyond the human understanding. And we see the great amount of suffering and pain in this world. When we see the illness and the debilitating diseases and the accident and injuries that occur in some people's lives, it's difficult for us to show people that this is God's plan. God allows these things to happen so that we can learn from him and of him. And when we calculate the tremendous amount of food and financial aid the U.S. has poured into this vast wasteland of warlords and people who are unable and unwilling to learn of God, we see that there's a small handful that come out and that change their lives and educate their lives and take their minds and dedicate them to God. And then what happens? Then people like Boko Haram go in and they steal these young women out of the schools. And they take them and they breed them to breed warriors for Islam. What a terrible tragedy that is. These young women who they try to assist with schooling, send them to school, let them learn, help them, teach them, show them the way that they can take back to their villages and help people. And you have miscreants that will take them and use them for reproductive purposes. But continuing, he says, by faith in verse 7, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house, and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Yes, Noah had faith. It took faith to start building that ark and gathering the wood together. It reminded me of the old Bill Cosby routine that he had on a very popular record on the story of Noah. And he said, "Build a what?" And the voice from heaven says, "How long can you tread water?" You know, the flood is coming, and you've got to build an ark to save your family. How long can you tread water? You know, Noah had more than faith. What did he have more than faith? He had works. He prepared the ark. And you know, his actions speak to us today through the pages of the Bible. And the world mocks that. Impossible. Can't happen. Yet, the Word of God says it did happen. And you know what? If I have a choice of, am I going to obey what God's Word says, or am I going to believe what some super intellectual mind says, I'm going to take God's Word. Because God's Word has been proven over and over and over again that it's for us. It's for his children. And that is to teach us the things that we need to know to have long, happy, healthy lives. Who doesn't want that? Don't we all want long, healthy, happy lives? We don't always get it outside of God's word. He says, continuing in verse 8 through 11, he said, by faith, Abraham, when he was he was called to go out into a place where he would have to receive for an inheritance. He obeyed. He went out, not knowing where he went. Oh, that took faith. That took faith. That took, yes, sir, Lord, whatever you say, we will do. And you and I, in our Christian lives, in our Christian walk, we often have to do the same thing. God says, do this. His word says, do this. And we don't understand why at the time. But we, well, if that's what God says we should do, then we do it. And what happens? As we do it, God blesses us. And you know, you and I, as we go forward, we love these blessings that God gives us. We because we learn from them. We see that these blessings heap bountiful good things on us, sometimes with great tests and trials, but the blessings are there. Let's look at Romans 1, verses 17 through 20. In Romans 1, 17 through 20. He says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Can we live by faith? Is it easy to live by faith? No, it's not easy, but we can do it, because God never leaves us without a hope, without an opportunity, without a pattern of growth that it's like planting a tree. And we'll see later on that having a tree and the pattern of the tree is something of great significance to man. He says in verse 18 of Romans 1, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And do we see that in the world that exists today? Do we see that in the people of the world, our friends in the world? You know, they, in some cases, have little or no understanding of God. And they don't need to know God. They've got everything physical that they want, they think. He says in verse 19, he says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. God shows it, but they don't want to see it. You see, we should not be surprised by the unrighteousness we observe in the world, because that was us before our calling. The things that the world does in unrighteousness today, we did in ignorance. In verse 20, he says, for the invisible things of him, referring to the word of God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and godhood, so that they are without excuse. Yes, brethren, faith is a significant factor in our understanding. And faith without works, as we saw before, is dead, being alone. We need to have works. We need to be doing a work that God puts in front of us. And we never, in many cases, I shouldn't say never, but in many cases, don't understand what that gift is. We don't understand what that test is. We don't understand how we should be reacting. In James 2, verse 19, he says, you believe that there is one God. And that's good. You do well. The demons also believe, and they tremble. They tremble because they broke God's laws, knowingly, willingly, and regrettably, the world of humanity has suffered for that. Now, let's read James 2, verses 14 through 16. Let's go back. Because he says, for what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and he have not works, can faith save him? Good question. And there are some people that have looked at the Church of God and said, well, you people don't believe in faith. You believe in works. You believe in saving yourself and doing things and keeping feast days and eating certain foods and not eating certain foods. But you see, that's not the kind of works he's talking about. He says in verse 15, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, go in peace and be warmed and have be filled, have your belly filled. You know, there's more to it than that, isn't there? That sounds silly even to us in this day and age. But you know, we have things to give that are spiritual and physical. And sometimes by giving physical things, God can open a person's mind physically, by spiritual. See, the idea of a brother being without food or clothing is rare indeed within the USA. There's not a lot of it. There's some. But you know, it's rare. We are the most generous nation in the world, and perhaps to a fault sometimes. You see, we give a handout instead of a hand up. Chairman Mao, and I'm not a big fan of him, but he made a statement, a comment that's been attributed to him. He says, give a man a fish and you teach him how to fish. Which is it? Give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. Teach him how to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. And we in our society today have been trying to do that in some of the developing nations. But you know, it takes a lot of faith to believe that God has a real concern for weak human beings. It takes faith to understand that God has a personal love and compassion for the weak. I mean, if you and I would give good things to a weak, to a sick, to a dying, to a person who has need of food, has need of clothing, if we're smart enough to do that, why doesn't God do it? Well, see, God wants us, brethren, to be his tools in the world, to show the world that we have love and compassion on all mankind, not just on those that are of our fellowship. In James 2, verses 17 through 19, we read verse 19 earlier, we'll read it again. He says in verse 17, even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. And you and I have an opportunity in our daily lives, sometimes in our weekly experiences, to show faith with works. He says, yes, a man may say in verse 18, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith by your work, and I will show you, show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Now, again, this is what that scripture right there, Martin Luther called the Epistle of James an epistle of straw, because it said things in there that he didn't agree with. But you know, he says in verse 19, if you believe there is one God, you do well. The demons, as we said earlier, also believe and tremble. And it's amazing. You know, I don't want to embarrass anyone, so I will probably do it anyway. But When Kathleen was in the hospital and in the nursing home, and we would go visit her on occasion, and yeah, she never stopped to mention her brothers and sisters, who are many of them sitting right here today, who've come to visit her and feed her and bring her good things and cheer her up and do good things for her. You know, without that kind of attention, brethren, she saw your good works. But you know who else saw your good works? Her roommates, the nurses, the people that took care of Kathleen. And that was a witness to them. We may not see them at service next week, I'm not saying that. But they've come to an understanding that there are people of all sizes, shapes, races, working together for a sister in Christ. You know, that's good. That's important. That's a wonderful tribute to God's Spirit leading us. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 27, so that we don't get a big head about the things I just said. It says, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. They think we're foolish. We're going to keep the Passover a month after they keep Easter. And we're foolish. My wife has she asked me, people ask her about it, and she'll say, well, does it make sense to have the resurrection a month before he died? And, you put it that way, that even the hardest heart and the most callous mind would say no. And yet this is one of those years when Easter happens this weekend and the Passover is 4 weeks away. So you and I are blessed with having certain understandings and that the world doesn't have and they can't have. But it says God has chosen the foolish things to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And why would he do such a thing? Why would God do that? Why would he pick the weak, the humble, the poor to represent him? In verse 29, he gives that answer. That no flesh should glory in his presence. Human beings in the physical form are never going to be in the presence of the great God. Because can you imagine somebody who thinks he's really great standing physically before God? No, it takes training. It takes being cut down. It takes being humbled in order to get to the point where, brethren, the things that we have, the things that we need, the things that God gives to us, he gives to us because he loves us. And people who have more, they've got a lot more to learn, perhaps, than you and I. No flesh should glory in his presence. And we saw in 1 Corinthians in 15, where it talks about pretty much the same thing that in verse 50, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The only ones who are going to be in the kingdom of God are going to be spirit beings. They're going to inherit the kingdom. It's going to be given to them by Jesus Christ when he returns. And then our work really begins. Then we have an opportunity then to work with the physical humans who are left to help them to understand the love of God and the truth of God and understand that he has nothing but good things for us. You see, God sees the heart of mankind and self-importance of mortals. Well, one of the stories from the Bible that teaches that lesson of our self-importance or our imagined importance was the story of Nebuchadnezzar back in the book of Daniel. Here was a young man. Some of the commentators say he was between 25 and 30 when he took over the reins of Babylon. And he had these young Jewish lads that he used for many things. And he was filled with arrogance and vanity. He was ready to exercise his power by killing anyone who disagreed with him, by killing anyone who couldn't give him what he wanted. And he wanted information. He had a dream. And he wanted to know what that dream meant. Problem was, he couldn't remember what the dream was. And he passed a decree that all of his wise men, all of his soothsayers, all of his people who were supposed to be of great influence in the court, they were to be put to death. And Daniel went to him and said, look, he says, there is a God in heaven. Give me some time, and I will tell you the meaning of your dream. God will reveal it to us. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were friends of Daniel. So what did he do? He went to his friends. He went to God's people in captivity, and they prayed to God. And guess what? Well, you don't have to guess. You've read the story many times. It says in Daniel 2, verses 17 through 19, that Daniel went to his house and made the thing known Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning the secret. It took the mercy of God to reveal that to him. Otherwise, he was dead. His friends were dead. But God had a plan for Daniel. And when you read the rest of the book in the King James Version, you find incredible revelations and prophecies of things to come. But we're not going to go there today, but it's a tremendous study. These individuals went to God concerning the secret, says in verse 18, that Daniel's and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. In verse 19, it says, and then was the secret revealed to Daniel in a night vision. And then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. He went to God. He thanked God. He gave God honor. He gave God glory. He went to God and he blessed him. Thank you, Father, for what you've done. And you know, you and I don't always do that. When God gives us something, when God blesses us, sometimes we are so ready to enjoy what he gives us that we don't take the time to go and thank him. You see, there is a God in heaven, he says in verse 28. Or start in verse 27. It says, Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded cannot the wise men and the astrologers and the magicians and the soothsayers show to you. But, he says in verse 28, there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and make known to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, what shall be in the latter days. Your dreams and the visions of your head upon your bed are these. And in verse 30, he continues and shows the king the dream and what it meant. And there's a lot in these verses, and we don't have time to go into them today. But there's so much there, brethren, that we need to have our mind and our heart in God's word and studying these things. Because without an understanding of what God's plans are, and without our prayers to God for the revelation to understand them, we will be in the same condition, the same, I hate to use the term, the same condition, but we will be in a very similar condition, a similar position to the people of the world. Regrettably, the leaders who tried to destroy God's servants, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't give up. They went and they tried to do it again. Either you do this, or we're going to throw you in a lion's den. Now, I don't know about you. I've never been in a lion's den, and I don't know that I would ever want to be in a lion's den, unless he was well fed or unchained pretty well. But they said, no, we're not going to put him in a lion's den. We'll throw him into burning oil. Put him in the furnace. That's what we'll do. Put him in a furnace. So they did. They put them in the furnace, and they weren't burned. Their hair wasn't singed. Their clothes weren't singed. But they used, the evil men used their faith and belief against them. When they tried to destroy Daniel by interfering in his praying to God, Daniel was the one thrown into the lion's den, wasn't he? Yes. And the example to the men down through the ages of Daniel in that lion's den is something of great importance and significance. We see the spiritual nature of faith magnified in a different light. Yes, you know, we are to live by faith. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. He says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And remember the parable in Luke 18? The widow who wanted relief from an adversary. And nobody would listen. The judge wouldn't listen. She took it to the judge. The judge wouldn't listen. He was too busy to worry about this old widow woman. And we look at Luke 18, verses 7 through 8. We see that God not only had the judge heart changed. He gave a lesson for us. He says, "And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night to him, though he bears long with them?" You know, sometimes we get impatient in our prayers to God, and we don't get the result that we're looking for when we want it. We always want it right now. We don't want it 2 weeks from now, or 2 months from now, or 2 years from now. We want it now. It's the old saying, "Lord, give me patience and give it now." Yeah, that's not patience. That's being a benefactor. But you see, as we go forward in our Christian lives, I think that we learn so much from the words of the Scripture of how true faith really works. And you can look through do a word study on the word faith. In the New Testament, there are over 240 uses of the word faith in the King James in English. How many do you think there are in the Old Testament? Two in Daniel, and maybe three more somewhere. But, you know, we have brethren in our lives. We have so much to learn that a word study can do us great service in building our faith towards God. Because, you know, when we have a nice house to go to, and the phones are working and the gas pumps are working and all the good things that we have in this society, we have times coming perhaps quickly that can cause great consternation to the world. And, you know, our faith will be a light to those who don't have hope. Our faith in God is something that we need to build upon. And then you might ask the question, how does a Christian build upon his faith? How do we get faith? Is there some way that we can get faith through the things that we do? Let's look at Romans 12. He says in verse 3, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." Yes, the measure of faith is there for all of us, brethren. And it's up to us to exercise that faith, to use the faith that God has given us, and to show that we are willing and understand the things that God has for us. These gifts come from God. How? Through His Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 and 9. He says, "For to one," he's talking about spiritual gifts, "for to one is given by the Spirit the words of wisdom, to another, the words of knowledge by the same Spirit." So the Spirit is what gives these spiritual gifts. That shouldn't come as a surprise. And to many of you, it won't come as a surprise. But you see, in verse 9, he said, "To another, the faith by faith comes by the same Spirit." Do we have faith? Have we received it from that Spirit? In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13, he makes this statement, this comment. "We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken." See, but belief is important. We need to believe what God says. But faith, as I said earlier, without works, the Scripture said earlier, without works, is dead, being alone. He says, "We have the same spirit of faith according as it is written. I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, and we speak quite eloquently by the lives we lead. And it's not easy in the world to lead a life that's exemplary. It's not easy to lead a life that shows faith and devotion to God, because the world has they've kind of lost sight. And I snicker a little bit, but you know the world has been so deceived and doesn't know it that they think bunnies lay eggs, colored eggs. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? But yet they believe it, and yet they teach it to their children. And it's regrettable that our society, our people, who should know better, teach known lies because the kids like it. And how many times have you heard, well, the children like it. The children enjoy looking for colored eggs. They come from colored chickens, from colored bunnies. Who knows where they come from? And brethren, you see, faith is a gift which bears fruit. Not colored eggs, not chocolate bunnies. And there's nothing wrong with chocolate. I like chocolate bunnies. I usually go out the day after Easter and buy up some candies that suit my flavor, my favorite. And that's good. You know, fine. Half price. That's after all the discounts have been taken. But, you know, the fruit of God, the fruit of His Spirit, is something that comes to a human being in a different way. It doesn't come from jellied eggs or jelly beans. And I love black jelly beans, man. My kids know when after Easter they go out and they shop. They can find a package of pure black jelly beans. Man, they'll get them for Dad, and they'll last me for 6 months. But that's okay. That's okay. There's always another year. And the society doesn't. Well, it just has to be something that suits my taste. But you know, as we develop and exercise the fruits of God's Spirit, we show our faith to Him. We show our faith to our mates. We show our faith to the people that we work with, those who are still working. We see in Galatians 5:22. Galatians 5:22. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace." How much love is there in the world today? Lots of sex, but how much love of giving, of helping? There's some, but there's not a whole lot. Joy. How many joyous people do you know that you see? You might see somebody in a grocery store and they look sour. Hi, how you doing? Good. And they'll give you a strange look because they don't feel the way you seem to portray it. But you know, joy is something that God wants us to have. And Paul told the Galatians that these are people that lived in a Gentile society that had nothing but wickedness in their lives, wickedness through their belief in their gods. And yet they were coming here to hear Paul, and he taught them, and many were converted. And they didn't have the fruits of the Spirit unless they realized they were there. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace. The next one's the easy one. Long-suffering. Putting up with problems and trials for a long period of time. Knowing that God is working in our lives to teach us lessons. Continuing, gentleness, goodness, faith. Do we have the faith in God that we should have? Do we have the belief that God is going to give us the things that He promises? Well, I think most of us do. We believe that God is filled with good things. and that he has given good things to his children. In Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 9, he says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. See, we can't build up these sentiments. We have to go to God, because there are different kinds of, what's the word I'm looking, there are different kinds of representing all of these gifts. But there's only one right way, the way God wants us to represent him. And we need to go to God to get the leadership and the guidance and the direction that we know what he wants and that we do it correctly. He says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, that is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, the Sabbath and feast keeping don't save us. Keeping the Sabbath does not give us salvation. Keeping the Sabbath gives us the joy that God has for us in this day, to learn of him and to be more like him, and to share his gifts with his people. Ephesians 3, verses 16 through 19. And again, Paul, remember, he was the apostle to the Gentiles. And the people he was dealing with didn't have these concepts in their mind. And they were things that they had to learn. He says in Ephesians 3, verses 16 through 19, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. It comes through the Spirit of God in our minds, in our hearts, in our lives, in our action. Continuing verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. If you've seen some of the Easter representations that are all over the videos this week, you see what Christ, in one sense, some of the physical things he went through. We don't learn the spiritual things from most of these presentations. But you see, Christ went through the trials, the beatings, the flogging, all the things that went with it for us, because he had his eye on the future. He knew that his brothers and sisters were going to study and read the words that were recorded for us, because these are things that he has for us. Because he wants us to learn to be more like him. And if we can do it without being flogged and without being beaten, then it's better for us. But if it takes flogging and beating and hopefully they're not crucifying anymore, but a lot of Christians, people who believe in Jesus Christ, are having their heads removed in some of the Middle Eastern countries as we speak. It's an ongoing thing. It's a persecution of Christians that some are trying to have declared as genocide. And perhaps that should be. But you see, you and I, in the peace and safety of the society we live in, we need that Christ dwells in our hearts by faith, that being rooted and grounded in love, we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Brethren, let us all be filled with the fullness of God because of the blessings that he has given us, because of the understanding that we have, because of the freedom and peace that we are able to enjoy and to share with one another. Remembering that without faith, it's impossible to please God.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.